So good morning, everyone. I've done a lot of talking today already. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I've probably already surpassed my max words that I typically use during the day. But I really appreciate everybody being here this morning. Like I keep saying over and over again, it's so encouraging to me and Paul that you're here. It means a lot that we can be together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can worship Him and worship the Father, and we can study from His Word. I hope today a brief lesson I give today, I hope it will be impactful for you, and it will help you as you journey through this life. And I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. I've taken an invitation I've done in the past and maybe expounded on it a little bit this morning. But I think it's a topic that is very worthy to hit up again. I mean, frequently it's something that we need to think about. And so what we're going to talk about today is what we're striving towards, our eventual home in heaven. And I don't have PowerPoint slides today, but most of my sermons is going to be just straight from the Bible. It's going to be easy to follow for everyone, and I hope it'll be beneficial for you. I'm a bit of an understated person. I mean, right now, this is probably the most extrovert I'm ever going to get. I'm not a dynamic speaker or anything like that. I don't think of myself as a great orator, but thanks be to God that the words I will read this morning, they're from God. What else do I need to say? I don't need to be a great speaker to bring this message to you. It's all written out there for me. Being a Christian is a daily commitment. It is not something we do 2 hours every Sunday. It's not something we do 1 hour on Wednesdays, and then we just drop it until we pick it up again. It's a challenging thing to be a Christian. We have to withstand temptation each and every day. Every day is a battle for spiritual survival. We need to be ready to fight. You can see that in the New Testament in Paul's writings. Throughout my life, my faith has been tested. I've not always lived the life that I should have. And I'm at the point now to where I finally have a little bit of wisdom. I'm kind of a late bloomer when it comes to maturity. I finally have a little bit of wisdom to understand how important my life in Christ needs to be. What's always given me strength is knowing that if I just give my life to Christ and follow His Word, I'll one day be rewarded in heaven. But that's not the best part. Wanting to be with loved ones again, it's comforting and it's inspiring to me. My father moved on from this life 4 years ago. Now, when he passed away, I was working for the Army in Italy, and there's this thing that happened in the early 2020s called COVID. I didn't get to go home to see my father's funeral because I was stuck in Italy. I mean, it was hard, like really hard. And he moved on from this life, and he was one of my greatest inspirations. He was even more introverted than me, if you can believe that. All my extroversion I have is from my mom, who she is still here with us today. And other people like my grandmother, my uncle, many other of my family members, they have already moved on to the next life, and they were faithful Christians that were very inspiring to me. Their Christian lives remained outstanding examples of how I need to keep pressing on to the prize, as Paul says. And I've also been strengthened by the many Christians and brothers I grew up with that were formative in my life when I was coming up in the church and still remain big influences to me. And I know I'm not the only one who's lost. We've all lost people in this life. We've all had to get over that heartache. We've all felt pain when they've departed this life. But what I think should bring us comfort is knowing what the scriptures tell us about them, about us and our future life with Christ. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 to start. This is from the Apostle Paul. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. Paul is commanding them to comfort each other with those words. Think about that. That's what we should be doing as brothers and sisters today. I can tell you with certainty that those words from the Apostle Paul bring me great comfort and encouragement, and I hope it comforts you as well. Paul continues much of the same topic when he wrote to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 50, it says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? The sting of a death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." We as faithful Christians, we have the hope of eternal life because we have put our faith and trust in God and have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Paul is all about giving us warnings as well. We need to remain steadfast until the end. Apostle Peter has warned us to remain steadfast until the end. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says there, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." Again, Peter is giving us a warning there. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand," he has told them, "be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Brethren, we need to press on to the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, as commanded by Paul in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example. He's telling us what to do there. And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. It's pretty clear. I mean, these verses here talks about how we need to keep pressing on to the prize. We need to make sure we're doing the right thing. We need to help each other get there. And as discouraging as this life can be sometimes, we need to remember what I said before. When it's all said and done, if we're faithful Christians and live the life of a Christian that we need to, one day we'll be in heaven. Death will have no impact on us at all. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? So as I close this morning, I want to read to you one of my grandmother's favorite passages. And this is Paul writing as he knows his life on earth is coming to an end. It's in, you probably already know where it's from. It's what I read this morning. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And every time my grandmother would read this and recite it, it got more and more impactful to me as I went through life. And as I knew that she was coming to the end of her life, it really hits you right here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Brothers and sisters, one day I hope that I will be with Jesus and the saints in heaven, and I know I will be if I will just put my trust and faith in him and follow his word. And on that day, I hope I'm there with you and all the other faithful saints, and I hope one day, and I know one day if I'm there, I'll see my Father again. And that's a wonderful thought and encouraging to me. So if you're subject to the invitation or if you need anything from us, please don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.